It is great to see every one of you here this morning. You know, Friday night was a dark night. Our Good Friday service, someone said it was sad, but it was needed to be reflected upon. But Sunday morning, praise God. Amen? Amen. Amen. I wanted so badly on Friday night to say, but in 3 days, but I didn't want to shift the focus quite yet. But praise the Lord that he is who he is, that he's done what he's done, and that you and I know him because we've asked him into our heart, because we've acknowledged to Jesus that we are sinners, that he died for our sin, paid for our sin, rose from the grave, is alive today, and that he says, I want to be in your life and I want you to be in my life. Yeah. And therefore, I've paved the way for you to have a relationship with God, the Father, through me. And so we can praise God, because the reality is, when we have Jesus in our heart, the Spirit confirms that we truly are his children, and we truly have a relationship with God. The world looks at that and says, that's impossible. The world looks at that and says, you're insane. The world can say anything they want to, but the joy is Jesus. Amen? Knowing him, having him in our heart. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I do pray, Father, please, that you will speak through your word. Your word goes out and it never comes back void. So I thank you for the work that you do. And I'm asking, Father, please, that each one of us will just know you in a deeper way, that we'll be touched by you, blessed by you, encouraged by you, that our joy in you would increase as we go through this message. And as we leave this place today, and maybe really think about, you rose from the dead for us to give us victory in you. And I praise you for who you are and what you've done. So I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I am, he is, and we are, is the title of the message. I am, he is, and we are. So on Good Friday night, we gathered together to remember what our Lord had done for us. By the way, the cross has mirrors on it. It points to several different things. One is that God was condemned for us. God was broken for us on the cross. He took our sins and put it upon himself. And so when you look at that, we see our reflection in that he's taken our sins and put it on him, and he was broken and paid for our sins. And he died and he was buried, and praise God, he rose 3 days later. And we celebrate that today. Last Friday, I spoke about how Jesus is the great I am of Exodus chapter 3, who linked himself to our sin. That's an amazing thought. God linked himself, God who's holy, linked himself to your sin and my sin. And how was that? Because every time I ask, say this, I am, and put your name. I am Terry Glover. I am, put your name there. Say in your head. Okay, go ahead if you want to. Say, I am.
I am.
Okay, good. So the I am God already put into our language for all of us. He connected even in that language connection, that I am wants to be connected with you. And he's the great I am. And he linked himself to us, but he's holy, and we're not. And then he allowed himself to become unholy, because God was condemned on the cross because of our sin, so that we might be made righteous in him. He took on himself what he didn't deserve. He became sin himself and paid for all of our sins himself, so that anyone who puts their faith in him as their Savior will know the righteousness of God in him. God will see them completely clean, without spot, without blemish, and fully acceptable to the Father. Praise God for that. He took the bad stuff and gave us the good through him. Amen. Amen. He became sin for us on that cross to take our punishment for our sin. When he was on that cross, and he said in John 19:30, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Praise God, our great I am. He is finished making a way for our salvation. Isn't that great? We have hope. We sang about hope, did we not? He's our hope in this regard, that we know that he has promised us eternity in a relationship with him that starts at the moment we receive him as our Savior. And it never ends. In the English language, hope infers that it might not happen. I hope it does, but it might not. But when God speaks of hope, he speaks of promise. And that promise is secure. And we can watch him bring it to fulfillment. One day we'll be together with him. So praise God, our great I Am. He has finished making a way for our salvation. It is all made possible by his death and resurrection. If Jesus didn't die and we were here today, we would be fools. Because there would be no truth. He would not have had victory over death. And death, the only reason why there's death is because sin brings forth death. So Jesus conquered death because he never sinned. Death had no grip on him, had no hold on him, and he rose victoriously because of that. And if we're in him, then we rise above that too. Death has no, sin has no grip on us anymore. And we've been given eternal life at the moment we receive Jesus as our Savior. Let's read some verses from that beautiful resurrection morning. You know, we sunrise service this morning, had a couple of them in the community, and just I love the crispness of the morning and the sun coming up and the spirit of people praising God and the message given. I just love that time because my mind goes back to the garden when Mary was going to the garden and expecting the tomb to be sealed shut and finding it open. Matthew 28, 1 through 6 says this, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." I like that. Hey, we're done here. I'm just going to sit on this stone. You imagine that? "His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men." There is a holy presence there. There were holy things that happened there. God rose. Jesus rose. "But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not there, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay.'" Now, can you imagine Mary and those that were with her, right, walking to the garden, expecting the stone to be on the grave door, covering the door, finding it open, first seeing a shining, glimmering angel just casually sitting on top of the stone. He is not here. But on top of it, seeing these Roman soldiers flat out on the ground because they just fell back at the reality of what had happened. And so, praise God, our great I Am, he is risen. The great I Am not only saves us when we believe that he died for our sins and was resurrected, but he also links himself with us. Let me clarify that, just to make sure online and here, that it's not a matter of knowing the truth of the gospel, knowing who Jesus is, that he died, that he rose, that he's alive. You may believe that that's true intellectually. You're right, just because you read it, it's in the Bible. But to believe is to say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for my sin. Please come live in my heart. Please let me know you and give me eternal life through faith in Jesus." If we do that, Christ comes and lives in our heart and he never leaves us or forsakes us. Never, ever. No matter where our walk is. And Pastor Bruce was sharing this morning, he said that there was a time when he received Christ and he was focused and then he waned and then his life just kind of did this and he was doing all sorts of stuff and God said, "Now you done?" Right? And he said, "Yeah, I'm done and now I mean it. I'm committed to you. Nothing's going to change that now." See, God never leaves us. We may wane, but God doesn't wane. And God loves us so much. He loves you so much. So I want to clarify that when I say if you believe these things, it's meant that you've personally accepted what Jesus did and you've asked him for forgiveness and then have invited him into your heart to be your Savior. But let me just say this again. Reread my note here. The great I Am not only saves us when we believe that he died for our sins and was resurrected, but he also links himself with us. And again, I talked about that Friday night, the I Am. I am Terry Glover. I am, put your name there. There's a natural link there that God intended through language to try to catch our attention to look to him. But God, who's holy, wants to link himself with us who are unholy. And that's an amazing love. An amazing love. Because the only way that could be accomplished is by the sin being taken care of. So we can be linked together with him. We can be in him and him in us. Colossians 2, 11 through 14. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We know what circumcision is in the flesh, but circumcision spiritually is learning to put off the sinful nature through Christ and his power, that we might be the people that God's called us to be. Buried with him in baptism. When you were baptized, you laid down underneath that water. You were saying, I am dying to myself. And when I come up out of the water, I'm going to live a new life with Jesus. That's what that baptism represented. Being buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him, through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Look, and you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him. Through faith in Jesus Christ, in spite of the trespasses, in spite of the sin, in spite of the offenses that we have done through our actions against God, through Christ, he's forgiven us of that. And he's now made us alive together in him. Living with Christ in your heart is not just so that we know that we're going to heaven. It's intended that we have a relationship with Jesus that's alive and vibrant and full in him, being the people he's called us to be. He has made us alive together in him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And again, I'm rereading this because I think it's so amazing. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements against us. In other words, before we knew Christ, everything we did that was wrong was recorded and held against us by God. But when we receive Jesus as our Savior, who paid for our sin on the cross and rose from the dead, and we've asked him into our heart to be our Savior, all the things that were written against us that we did, knowing the past, the present, and the future, knowing all that was wiped away, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements against us. No longer are there any documents of handwriting of evil against you. God does not see you that way no more. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. None of us are better than anyone. We're all sinners. But God wiped our sin away through our faith in him. And so there's no book that tells us about that anymore. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way. Do you get it? Do you get it? I find joy in that. Do you get it? Here's the list. Here's the stack of all the things we've recorded that you've done against God. Here, the stack might be this high, this high, this high, this high, or can't even reach the top. And now it's wiped away. It's the writing is no longer there, not to be found. It's taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Everything that you and I have done that was offensive to God, called sin, was nailed to the cross. That's why on that cross, when you look at that, and you might see your reflection in the mirrors there, you're seeing yourself, your sin, placed upon him. And he died to wipe it all away. That's a magnificent gift. An amazing feat. An incredible gift from God that nobody could give us except Jesus. Praise God for that. We were dead in our sins. We weren't spiritually alive because we didn't know him. But now Christ has raised us from the dead and has made us alive in him. God has given us new life. We are in him. Before we didn't know him, before we didn't have a spiritual life in us, we didn't have a relationship with God. But now we do. And what we do with that is up to us. But what God wants us to do with that is learn to live in that new life in him. By loving him and keeping ourselves back, dying to ourselves and living for him. The great I am, he is risen, we are risen. You get that? The great I am was condemned on the cross. The great I am took all of our sin on the cross. The great I am took the punishment from God the Father for our sin. We receive him as our Savior. He rose from the dead in all victory, conquering death. Conquering death. I probably will die. We all will die if the Lord doesn't come back before that. Right? But our life is eternal with him through faith in him. And those that don't receive him, they have not life eternal, but death eternal separated from him. But praise God, we are in him. The great I am, he is risen. Now we are risen. God wants us to live our life above sinful nature because we can in him. It's not a statement of saying, well, that's an impossibility. No. God says, I've given you all that you need to live life in me victoriously. And we learn to rely on him and to live that new life in him. And that translates, we learn to love him more deeply because he's revealed himself to us. We are risen to a new and glorious life in him. We have the most amazing and wonderful God who would do this for us. We try to wrap your heart and your mind around that this morning. God has provided this new life and this wonderful relationship, this tremendous gift in Jesus for us. And he wants us to live the fullness of life in him. I know this isn't a schoolroom, but God has a grade school lesson for us in his name, I am. For instance, the word am is a form of the verb be. It is called a linking verb. We are to be God's people. That's what I was basically talking about at the Good Friday service. The great I am linked himself to us, or linked himself to our sin. He became sin. But now, because of his work being finished and our belief in him, we are now linked to him. We're not separate from God. We are in God and God is in us as believers in Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. So now that we are risen and alive in him, what does 2 Corinthians 5:17 tell us? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are not mandated to live the old life. We're not mandated to live in sin. We're not mandated to be strapped as slaves to sin. No, we've been made slaves unto Christ Jesus. And that word slavery there is simply saying, out of my own free will, out of your own free will, you choose to be a slave to Christ, our Master, Savior, and King. You choose to say, whatever you want, I want. You are my master. That's not a derogatory thing. That's a wonderful thing. Even in history, when there were slaves that wanted to stay with their master and their family, and they had the dowel put through their earlobe and marking them as their slave, it was out of a free will and a love for their master. And they were happy being there. And spiritually, we should be happy being there as those slaves of Christ, spiritually made alive, given new life, no longer in the old self, but learning to appreciate and live the new self in Jesus Christ. You know the picture of 2 Corinthians 5:17. The caterpillar crawls in the dirt and the grime of earth. But then when the decision is made to receive Christ, he climbs up that tree, hangs out on that leaf, and transformation takes place and becomes a creature that now is beautiful and flies. Who would ever thought a caterpillar would have thought to themselves, I can fly? Well, that's impossible. Oh, but in Jesus, you can. See, we can fly in that new life. Do you know what I mean by fly? Enjoy the thrill and the wonder of new life and living in Christ Jesus. How magnificent is that life? We have to choose to embrace it. We are a new creation. Don't shake that off. It's a gift. We are made new. That means that God, you know, when that caterpillar changes and just becomes that sludge in there, I'm not a teacher, so I'm not a good way to explain it, but when it transforms, it's no longer a caterpillar, but it's not a butterfly, and it's that sludge. We need to understand that God already knows what he wanted that caterpillar to look like as a butterfly. God already knows what he wants us to look like. He already knows the uniqueness of what he created us to be. We are to become like Christ Jesus, but in our own unique character as part of his body. Different identities, so to speak, different parts of the body, but still in him, becoming like him. So, we have that. We are a new creation. Now that we're linked to Christ, old things, bad things, sins that should not be part of our life are to be gone now. We should be living a living demonstration of that old analogy, seen in the caterpillar crawling through the dirt to a branch out of the dirt and linking itself to that branch that then transforms into something new and beautiful. And who is that branch we link to? That branch is Jesus. We choose to link to Jesus. By salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, but to choose to link onto him to just become that which clings to him, that clinging to him transforms us to be what he's called us, each one of us to be. We too now transform into something new and beautiful. The more that we see Jesus in each other, the more you stand in your faith, the more you walk with Jesus, the more that others see Jesus in you, what are they seeing? They're seeing the new life. What are they seeing? They're seeing that transforming power of God in your life. And the more you grow closer to God, the more transformation takes place, and people see more of him in you. And your joy becomes far greater. Let's read Zechariah 6:12. Then speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, from his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Jesus is the branch. And on that branch, if you cling to him, he'll build his temple. We are that spiritual living temple. Every one of us has Christ in our heart as a believer in Christ. We are living temples of God. We're also lively stones, living stones, a spiritual stone placed strategically within the temple of Christ. The analogy, whether it's the body and all its different parts and uniqueness, yet still one in Christ, or whether it be a temple with all the unique hewn out stones that are accomplishing what it's supposed to be doing in that temple structure, is the fact that we are all in Him, He is in us, we each have our uniqueness in Him, and our conformity to who He is. He is the branch, we are the temple. The humbling thing is that if we would just remember that as living temples of God, we do not want to allow the enemy to spray paint graffiti on our walls. Right? Our temple should be kept in an honorable way for God. 1 John 4:13 through 17. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We are as he is in this world. He is love. We are love. Now you might say, well, Pastor, that's kind of fancy, cutesy little phrase. But is not God love? I mean, he's the origin of love. He's the epitome of love. And out of his great love, look, we know what he did for us. But because of that love and then our relationship in him, we should be sharing that same love with others. We should obviously be sharing the gospel like I have this morning, that Jesus died and was buried and rose victoriously and died for your sins, and that he wants you to confess your sin. Say, God, forgive me for my sin. Come live in my heart and be my Savior. But it's also sharing the love of God, sharing the character of God, because God shows his love to us all of the time. He's always there. He's never leaving us. He doesn't cast us to the curb when we blow it. He loves us. And we're to show that love back. Did we deserve that love? No. One of the things that God loves the most is true mercy. Because mercy is giving what others don't deserve. If we say we stack up all right and we can say all this stuff of why we can't give mercy, we're not acting in love, we're acting in self. But if we act in love, we show mercy because of love. Why? Because Jesus showed us mercy. Not just at the cross, but in our daily lives. He's constantly showing us mercy, constantly giving us grace, constantly revealing to us that he loves us. And we're to do the same. We are as he is in this world. He is love. We are love. So as we see Christ and we worship Christ and we honor Christ and we acknowledge Christ and his love for us, we see that. But God is saying we're in him and he's in us, so therefore we also are love. If we don't love others, there is no love of God in us. And God teaches us how to love his way. His love should be in us, working in us, and being displayed through us to the world. God's love is a sign of the great I am being linked to us. How can you love like that? Because Jesus loved me like that. On the cross and throughout my life. When I know what I deserve, and he still put his arms around me and loved me. See, that's the type of love that we're supposed to have for one another. But not just, particularly for the brethren, the household of faith, Scripture says, but for all people. What does Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tell us? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know what's exciting about that? God prepared the specific good works that he wants us to do in and through him for his glory before we even knew him. Hey, these are the things I've got for you to do that are good that will bring me glory and fill your life up. Well, we're not going to get to do them if we don't cling to him. And God wants us to cling to him, to be transformed in him, to grow in love in him, and to be all that he has called us to be in him. We are workers of his good in this world. You say you have no mission, no calling? Yeah, you do. To be good. To reflect him. To show his love. To care about people. To share the gospel with others. We are workers of his good in this world. We are saved by his grace and given the gift of a new eternal life with the great I am in each other. And now we need to share that good news with others who don't know about this marvelous gift. It's a gift of salvation, a new life that was given through Christ's death and resurrection that the great I am offers to each human being. There are so many hurting people out there. And sadly, there are many hurting Christians out there that need to know and be reminded of God's love. And we need to show that love as well. What are those verses we all know? John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, we can find dirt on one another. It's not hard to find dirt. But we should be looking at love. Really loving each other. Caring for each other. Praying for each other. Exhibiting the character of Jesus in our life. He is the Savior. We are his messengers, his feet and his hands. He walked out of the tomb. We walk out into the world. You know, we can rejoice in what's been said in the fact that we are new in him, that we are a new creation, that we have a new life in him, that we can live above the power of sin, that we can, that doesn't mean that we aren't sinless. That doesn't mean that we don't have terrible times and we flop and fall and whatever. It means that God is always there picking us up and he always is there wanting us to hug him back and just keep moving forward. We just have to remember that the greatest gift is love. God gave all of himself for us that we might know him. Now, think about that for just a moment. We're close. Scripture says that our good works are as filthy rags outside of God. And yet God, who is holy in his love, says, I don't care how messed up, I don't care how dirty, I don't care how ugly, I don't care where you've been, I love you. And then we receive him as our Savior, and he received forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future. Now God says, now I want you to share that kind of love with others. It doesn't mean that you don't acknowledge sin. Doesn't mean that you don't stand on truth and the light that cuts through darkness. But it means you always stand in his love with a heart that's close to God. So praise God for who he is. Praise God for the new life that we have. Praise God for the promised hope of eternity with him. Praise God that he has a plan for us and he has good works for all of us to do for him and for his glory. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for being the great I am. One day we're going to understand things better, more clearly. And Father, honestly, I don't know how this message has been translated to the hearts and minds of every person here or every person online listening or who will listen to this message later. But I trust you, dear Holy Spirit, that you carried this message to our hearts to rejoice in who you are, Lord Jesus, and what you've done for us, to praise you for the new life that we have in you that's eternal, that will never be taken away, and for the purposes in which you have created us for, to people that stand in love, that reflect your character, and that do the good works that you call us to do to magnify your name. Help us to be that people. But today, Lord, as we celebrate you rising from the dead, embed that in our heart. I'm asking, dear Holy Spirit, please, that you would just stir our spirit with an awe and a reverence and a wonder and a thrill about you. That you rose, and that you who rose lives in us, and we know you. How we praise you for that. Father, if there's someone here today that's never asked Jesus Christ into their life to be their personal Lord and Savior, speak to their heart right now, if you haven't already, that you would talk to them and say, I love you, and I want to be in your life, and I want you in my life. And if they would want to come and receive you as their Savior, that they'd say, I want to pray and ask Jesus Christ to forgive me for my sins and to come live in my heart and to be my Savior, that they would do that, whether at the invitation or at some other point, that they would communicate that they might be saved and know you and know this new life that you have for them. Father, as brothers and sisters in Christ, you know where we are with you. You know if we've been living the new life or if we've been avoiding the new life. But I pray that you would stir hearts to live the new life. And if there be anyone that had heart concerns in that regard or otherwise that need prayer, may they come forward and say, I'd like to ask for prayer for this or that. Father, we just want to meet with you, not just here this morning, but for the remainder of the day and every day, that we are just meeting with you and loving you. In Jesus' name, amen.